So let's talk about looking forward or always looking forward. I had this minor epiphany while driving back from a call that was about 2 hours away during the week. And it just happened on Friday. I was looking for a really good, when we have these long drives, I look for a good podcast, a Bible study, maybe a little music, mix it up a little bit. I mean, it gets pretty boring on the road. You got an 80, you know, there's nothing but flatness there. If we were in Colorado or something, it'd be a little different, right? You could see the mountains, but Illinois is pretty flat. So I was looking for a good Bible study, something that make it bearable. And I was thinking about, well, I've been thinking a little bit, I don't want to mention, but my birthday's coming up, and I've been thinking about that a lot. I've been thinking about, not for myself, I really don't want any more birthdays, but I'm going into another decade now. That's kind of major, you know? It's kind of major. 50 is a hard one to get into, you know, so. I'm going to be 70. Tomorrow. So, new decade, right? Hey. I'm feeling pretty good for those that have been concerned about my health. I am feeling really good. I got good reports back from the doctors, so you know, we had a little incident in January. But this minor epiphany goes like this. I thought about this rock and roll band I knew back in the 70s. I won't even mention the name of it. Well, it was really one of my favorite rock and roll bands, and of all times, because they always spoke about the future, things getting better all the time. And that was not the name of the song, by the way. But it was not your typical, you know, hard rock party 70s band. And I thought, I wonder what they're doing nowadays, right? They're probably all in their 80s somewhere. They were older than me. They're probably all in their 80s. What are they up to? So I looked up, and sure enough, there was a new release. I'm on YouTube. There's a new release with about 12 songs. So I'm driving down the highway. I click on one of the songs. I'm going to do a review on this. I click on one song, see what they're up to. I went through all 12 of them. And some of the songs had resemblance of the band I used to remember, the style, the voices, the singing, the individual voices in the band. But one thing all the way through the whole clicking, I was really disappointed. Every song I clicked on spoke about the past. Everything spoke about the past, the good old days and, you know, all the things in the rearview mirror that has happened. Now, there's nothing wrong with a little nostalgia. But it hit me thinking, this is what happens when you get old. You look backwards. You don't look forward anymore. Now, I'm a Christian, so I'm thinking, there's something wrong with this picture. We need to be able to look forward. So the Holy Spirit began to speak to me how it's different when we become a Christian. We always look forward. When you think about eternity, there's no end to that. So we always look forward. Now, it's okay to look in the past. There's nostalgia. I got a little nostalgia in my blood, especially in the case of spiritual trials and victories that I've gone through, that I've gotten victories on. Those are wonderful things. We need to remember the times in our life where God has given us victory. We need to remember that. We need, you know, I don't know how many times the Lord spoke to Israel, remember when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's a good thing. But you can't live in the land of Egypt or coming out of the land of Egypt. You can't live in the wilderness. You have to get into the promised land. That's where it's at. And it's always looking forward. Believers, we should always be looking forward. God is always working. He's always doing something new. And always something to look forward to, no matter how old you are. I'm older than probably a lot of you guys here, but I'm going to look forward to what God has for me in the remaining years that he has me, or when the rapture comes to take me away, one or the other. Hoping for the rapture, but until I pass or until the Lord brings me to him, I'm going to look forward to what he has for me. Just yesterday, conversations we had in our Saturday morning prayer meeting, we talked about the idea of retirement. I brought up a story, a conversation that I had with a group of older Christians when we had the movie The Jesus Revolution. I went over and met some friends that were gathered together, and they were just chit-chatting, and were saying about the movie, how good it was, and this. And one of the guys just in the group mentioned, I just retired. And, you know, everybody in the group gives the short congratulations. But I kind of interrupted it, and I said, well, wait a minute. Christians don't retire. Christians don't retire. We don't really retire. Now, we might retire from work. No problem with that. Retirement is not in our Christian vocabulary. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how young we are. God always has something new for us, and he's constantly trying to teach us about himself. So retirement is not in our vocabulary. But there's even a more pressing point that we share. Whether we're old or young, we must always look forward. We must always expect God to do more. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. That's what God says. He wants to fill our lives. Paul in Philippians, one of my favorite verses, I'm sure one of yours, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So today I want to stir up your sense of expecting God to do wonders in your life. He wants to do wonderful things in your life. He's going to give you the trials. That's a given. In this world, we will have tribulation. But he wants to do wonderful things in your life. Those surprise blessings, those unexpected wonders, and to open yourself up to always look forward. That's my goal today. This Bible study, by the way, was for me. It was for me. I want to use the Word of God in Psalm 18 as a springboard to that path. Psalm 18, I've done a number of different studies on Psalm 18, but it is a reoccurring thing in my own heart. It's going to set the course for your next adventure, your next adventure with God. You got to think about that. God has an adventure for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And we should never let up on the hope that God wants to teach us more. You know, we've been in the book of Ephesians talking about the exceeding abundance, the more he wants to give us. And this just complements that. The importance of Psalm 18 is that David reveals to us the secret of moving forward, to keep moving forward. Now, we're going to look at just two different things in this. We're going to look at charging the enemy. I mean charging, us charging the enemy. And we're going to look at, and this will make sense in a minute, he makes my feet, and then he teaches my hands. You'll see it in the context today. So let's look at charging the enemy. It says, to the chief musicians, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song, on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and the hand of Saul, and he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. David has hit a watershed event in his life, and he's about to make a transition from running from Saul for 15 years to being king. He's making that transition. He's been on the run for Saul and other enemies. When Samuel anointed David with the oil to be king, it started a chain reaction in David's life that would put him on the run for 15 years, running away from Saul. It's a long time to run from your enemies. Day after day, Saul chased down David, and it wasn't only Saul, it was the Philistines, the Amalekites, all the other, the Moabites in that area that were his enemy also. Enemies within enemies, and enemies within, without, they were all around him. Yet God's faithfulness kept him all these years. Now, as we look at the psalm, we go back in time to the very day. This is the very day that God had delivered David from all his enemies. Sadly, it's probably the day that Saul was killed in battle to clear the way for David to become king. David's life on the run was his classroom. It was his classroom where he learned everything he is going to need to be king. His training was a life on the run. I think most of us here know what that's about. We're always on the run. Always, there's always something going on. David's life was on the run. It was his classroom. But in all that time, we see God was for him. We need to remember that in all of our adventures that God brings us into, the trials that we succeed in, the failures that we're going to meet, that God is for us. He is for us all the time. You know, whenever you come out of a trial, do you ever notice you start thinking clearly again? You start thinking, God really does love me. He cares about me. He's doing everything for me. But in the midst of the trial, it's very scattered in our mind. We see in these years of God training David is that he was building a warrior, actually a warrior king. I always like to put David as the warrior king. But we also see God building the relationship with David, where he was taught to trust him in the worst situations, in the best situations, to be able to rejoice. In between that, to spit out a couple psalms that were coming out of his heart. But we also see God building that relationship with David. Being on the run, David depended on the Lord all the time. I think that when we look at trials, trials make us depend on the Lord all the time, right? They make us depend on God all the time. A good Christian trial is always over our head. It's always over our head. It's not like up to here where you can just maybe breathe a little bit. It's always over our head. So God is able to do that. He brings us into situations where we need to depend on him and nothing more. You know, we fight a battle we cannot see, an enemy we cannot touch, an enemy that without God is more powerful than any of us, even combined. Angels are very powerful beings. They're very powerful. And just because they fell doesn't mean they're less powerful. They're more powerful than us. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on him. David has left his testimony of those victories on the pages of Psalms. Psalms is a wonderful book to be able to read, the testimony. So he goes on, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. That's the beginning. That other one was a preamble to tell us when that happened. When Saul was killed that day, David became king. Verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I mean, look at what he's saying here. How many different strength, trust, shield, horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And that very day, David was saved from all his enemies. One would think after 15 years of running that the man would be exhausted. He would be exhausted. I go through trials sometimes, and I'm at the end of it, I'm just exhausted. I'm exhausted, and God has to refresh me. But I see in this particular psalm a man that's refreshed. It is reflected in verse 2. He says, my strength, my fortress, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. David is a man stripped of self-dependence. He's no longer dependent on himself. A good leader is always being stripped of their dependence on themselves. That's what being a servant is all about, is giving up all that. Lord, this is all you. It's not me any longer. And God will do that in our trials. He will strip us of our independence, of ourselves. He wants us to be God-dependent. So I've been challenged in our study in Ephesians to the fact that Paul is, we've been talking in Ephesians, he's in a Roman prison. He's in a Roman prison. That's really impressed upon my heart a lot when I read it. He's still going strong. He's still going strong. He's at the edge of his life. He's still going strong. He's not giving up. He hasn't retired. He hasn't, oh, well, now I'm sitting in prison. I can just relax a little bit. And he's writing letters, writing some of the best epistles, knowing his life is hanging in the balance. David now is going to make this transition from his life, from being on the run, to being the king. He was a shepherd, anointed to be a king, on the run from Saul, 15 years. Now he's going into being the king of Israel. Now, you would think David's mind is, at this point, let's retire. Let's sit back in the palace. Let's kick back. Time to settle in, enjoy the victories. But Psalm 18 tells a whole complete different story. David uses the past victories to encourage himself in the Lord. Look at verse 16. We're going to flip around a little bit in there. We're not going to read the whole psalm. Verse 16, he said, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, from those too strong for me. Now, this doesn't sound like a guy that's ready to settle down. It sounds more like David has learned these great lessons of dependence on God, and he's ready for more. That's what he's ready for, more. David is looking forward to new things from God. We should always be looking forward to new things from God. Have you guys ever prayed, Lord, surprise me, bless me, Lord, do something that I know you're here? That isn't that an amazing feeling when you know that God is working in your life? It's just an amazing feeling, that, like, wow, I didn't know that, and you bring it to me. Now, it doesn't sound like David is ready to settle down. He's dependent on God, and he's ready for more. David is looking forward to new things, and we should always be looking forward to new things. He has this huge transition in his life from shepherd to running from Saul to now becoming king, and God has, now listen to this, God has more for David. God has, he's not done with David, he's got more for David. He will reign for 40 more years as the greatest of the kings of Israel. He will reign for 40 more years. Now, good times, bad times. We know some of the with David. Good times, bad times. Verse 29 always has gotten my attention. I've done different studies on this. Listen to this. Verse 29. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. Specifically, running against a troop or leaping over a wall. Those words have always caught my attention in this particular psalm. There's a couple things. They're warrior terms. They're warrior terms. Now, he's king now, but he's a warrior king. And he's rehashing what God has done for him. These are warrior terms for the battle of the day. And they're more than warrior terms. Here's a man that is not exhausted by the battle. He's not exhausted, but he's energized in the battle. He says, I can run over a troop. Actually, the King James says, I can run through a troop. And that's what it means. The enemy, he can run through the enemy. I have this picture in my mind of this experienced warrior, and David was. Sword in hand, leading the charge, breaking through the enemy ranks. That's not a man that's on the outskirts of the battle. It's a man that's not afraid of the battle. But it's also not an impulsive charge into the battle. It's thought out. But it's a picture of a warrior breaking through the enemy's line of defense to do what? Well, to fight. He's not going to give up. He's not going to retire. He's not going to go back. He's not going to sit. There's only one time that David ever really sat out the battle. He got in a lot of trouble with Bathsheba. We know what happened there. He's not ready at this point, but it's a picture of a warrior battle, a warrior breaking through the enemy's line of defense to fight. And he's not waiting for the enemy. Listen to this carefully. He's not waiting for the enemy to come to him, but he's going to the enemy with the battle. Did you ever think about that? Stay away from the enemy. He's charging in to the battle. And it's warfare, and he's charging. And I would say he's leading to bring the fight to the enemy. How we need people today to bring the fight to the enemy. We need to do that. We really need to do that. We've been speaking extensively in our study in Ephesians about example, how we can be those warriors, that we can be the examples out to the world about what a Christian is. How do we run through a troop? How do we take the fight to the enemy? Well, we lead really by example. We become the example to others of what a Christian is. We're followers of Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus. We're not just friends of Jesus. We're disciples, and we're followers of Jesus. We lead by examples too, and we don't settle in. We need to realize there's no neutral zone in warfare. You cannot sit out a fight. There's nothing. If you sit out a fight, the enemy will overwhelm you. They will. We need to take on the enemy. And this is something that's always looking forward. I think the middle of COVID, you guys would agree with me, the enemy took it to us. Don't you agree with that? It was really bad. It was really bad to see that. And a lot of the Christians simply laid down during that period of time. We lost our footing. We lost our footing. And the enemy overwhelmed the saints of God. Now it's time to run through a troop. It's time to get back. You can see that that's coming back a little bit. People are realizing those are really dumb things that they did during COVID. Really dumb sayings, really dumb ways. It's time to run through a troop. But we had the Word of God as our banner. We had the Word of God. The other thing David says, by my God, I can leap over a wall. What you see here is youthful energy. Youthful energy. You could be 50, you could be 60, you could be 70, you could be 80. You can have youthful energy in the Lord. First, running through the troops, now leaping over a wall. What does it mean to leap over a wall? Back then, they had the walled cities. Most of the cities back then, I've been studying a really good podcast on Sodom and Gomorrah. They had walls around the one main Sodom. They think were 40 feet tall, 40 feet. I mean, a double wall on top of it. So they had these walls that, over the city. Jericho was a really good example of that. And when you look at the data from the archaeological digs, you find that they're the least of them, the smaller ones, 15, 20 foot high. So when they surround the city, they would pick a few vulnerable spots in the wall. They'd look at this. We can get up that. There's a little ramp there. We can do this. They pick a few vulnerable spots on the wall and begin to barrage it to make a breach. That's what they do. They make a breach. And when they were successful in tearing down the walls about 4 or 5 feet, then they would begin to send the troops over. And the first troops entering the city were the most vulnerable. They were the most vulnerable. But I see this. I can leap over a wall. I see the courageous warrior being in the first line of offense, you might say, to be leaping over the wall, bringing the battle to the enemy. It's really the same picture with us today, that we're bringing the fight to the enemy. The first had to run into the troops. The first to leap over the wall. The first was to run into the troops. The first was to leap over the wall, and David was that warrior. Looking forward is not passive. It's not passive. It's always speaking about the future. It's talking about taking the fight to the enemy, not to lay down, not to retire, not to think about, well, I'm there and that's as far as I want to go. Christians need to keep going forward because God has so much more for us. We need frontline people to take it to the enemy. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Then I have this little subtitle, He makes my feet, He teaches my hands. And that's in verse 33 and 34. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. It might say steel in your Bible, but they're talking about bronze here. First of all, you have this picture of sure-footedness. He makes my feet, right? He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, or to be sure-footed or balanced. David acknowledges that God is what gives him his steady eddy, his steadfast. It's God. He makes my feet. I don't make my feet. He makes my feet. and sets me on high places. So David acknowledges that it's God that gives him his steadfastness. All the way through the psalm, you can read all of it. You'll see that David acknowledges anytime he was in trouble, it was the Lord that delivered him. It wasn't himself. It wasn't his military skill. It wasn't his warrior benefits or anything like that. It was God that did it. David acknowledges it's God. So now you must appreciate the contrast in verse 33. The high places are never easy places to be. They're never sturdy. The higher you go up a mountain, the less traveled it is, the more rocky it is. I've been hiking in the Lake Tahoe area. The high places are both challenging. They're hard to get to. The high places are very rugged places. And every step along the way, you had to watch where you put your foot because you could slip. You could slip. David is talking about a particular deer. Actually, to this day, still have it in Israel, the Nubian ibex, which is native to Israel. They're very agile. They're amazing creatures. You watch them on, you can watch them on YouTube, or you can catch something on the mountain goats or whatever, how amazing they are. They're extremely agile, very strong, muscular legs. But David was fascinated by his feet and its feet to give them stability, and that they had these cloven hoofs that can spread out. They can tuck into really small little ridges in the rock. And even a sheer cliff, it's not impossible for them to go up. I saw one time where a mountain lion was chasing, I think it was North American mountain goat. And the mountain goat could go so high, and pretty soon it just gave up. So they have great balance, almost no fear when it comes to climbing. Looking forward requires us to have those steady feet. We need to have the steady feet that God gives us. And it's because he wants us to go to the high places. That's where he wants us to go. He wants to bring us to the high places. What are the high places? Well, it's the place we meet God. That's where we meet God. We're not interested in staying in the valley. We've been in the valley. We've been there. We want to get out of the valley. We want to climb, and we want to explore new areas in the high places. God wants us to meet him in the high places. This last verse, verse 34, also was very interesting to me and to you. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend bows of bronze. You know, I've always liked this verse. He teaches my hands to make war. Chuck Girard, I don't know if you guys are aware who he was. If you saw the Jesus movie, the Love Song band that they were playing on stage, that is, Chuck Girard was one of the leaders of that band. He had a really cool song, Blessed Be the Name of My Rock. And the first line reads like this: Blessed be the name of the rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers to do battle. Now, all the bows of that area, most of the bows were simple wooden bows. They were just simple wooden bows. But they had a different type, very unusual, but they did have it. They would have a composite type of bow made from wood, and then they put really thin strips of bronze in there, and then they cover it with wood and a couple things like that. This would make it a very, very powerful weapon, extremely powerful. I mean, it wasn't like your typical arrow. They would use bronze arrows for this too, and they would pretty much go through a person, let alone stick in them. Very powerful weapon, but this type of bow, it was not for the weak. It was only for the strong. It was for the trained. But this type of bow is for the extraordinary. To pull back the drawstring and requires a lot of strength to do that. David here credits his ability to bend the bow of bronze to who? To his strength? He was really not a big guy when he was kind of a ruddy youth. That's what the Bible says, a young guy. But he credits the ability to bend the bow of bronze to God. You know, he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You know, we have this amazing gift with the Holy Spirit that he gives us things that we cannot do for ourselves. He brings us beyond what our strength is. We have this, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that enable us to do things and to have ability that we could normally not do in the natural sense. And the Holy Spirit teaches us how to make war. We are in a war. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go out and get a bow of bronze and shoot a few people. That's not what we're talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to make war. He gives us the ability that is beyond our natural self. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. And then he teaches me. He makes, and then he teaches me how to bend the bow. So always looking forward. We can expect God to bring us into those high places to meet him. Always looking forward. We can expect him to teach us how to make war against the enemy. And we do have an enemy today. It's getting worse. It's not getting any better. The attack is consistent all the time. On the news, new crazy thoughts. I don't know where they all come from the pit of hell. That's where they come from. COVID started a lot of this. We know that. But we need to get into the battle. We need to be able to, and you know, the way we get into the battle is not to go out and protest. If you into protesting, that's fine. I'm not against that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that we become examples. We fill ourselves with the Word of God. We learn about him. We learn about his ways. We allow him to try us, bring us into trials. And as he brings us through those trials, we learn how to make war. We learn how to make war. He makes my feet. He teaches my hands, if you can remember anything. So we've been talking about always to look forward. This is a very short sermon. We looked at charging the enemy. He makes my feet. He teaches my hands. We looked at that. I have no doubt that this particular sermon was for me. I'm just sharing it with you guys. I'm just sharing. I'm on the road thinking about all these things, and the Lord is beginning to speak to me. Look, there's a lot to come in my life. If I go tomorrow, there's a lot happening today. If I go next week, there's a lot happening for all next week. God has always got new things for us. He's got exciting things. He wants to make your life a life, an adventure in him. And because we are his children, I'll tell you, the best is yet to come. As much as you've had in your life, you might want to look back at great times of the past. Don't live there. The best is yet to come. He's got more for us. There's no such thing as Christian retirement. David, after all his enemies were put behind him, looked forward, and he became king. He became king. He's even got future things in the millennium to look forward to. It's an amazing thing if you read some of the, in Isaiah and some of the other books in Jeremiah. He reigned for, 40 years? He became the greatest king in Israel ever. The city of David, they call it the city. They don't call it the city of Hezekiah. They don't call it the city of Solomon. They call it the city of David. And it was God. It was God that raised him up, that God that made him look forward. It was God that redeemed him from the enemy. We need to redeem the time God has given us and use it for his glory. That's what it is. His coming is close. We sang that one song in the very beginning. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming sooner than you think. He's coming in surprise. You're not going to know the day or the hour he comes to take us. His coming is very close. So let us be faithful. Let us be faithful servants. Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." I always look at that and think, wow, I get heaven? And great is my reward in heaven. And when God says something is great, it's great. It's great. It says mega treasures. That's what it really is, mega treasures, if you look at the Greek. Great is your reward in heaven. No retirement here. There's no retirement. There's no letting up. Just keep moving forward. Let us charge the enemy, and let us go forward.